Good morning, Buddhas and Butterflies. Thank you so much for being here. All right, we are heading into houses 5 and 6. We're working with the extra emotions. And I goofed the last 2 weeks, which I never really think of when I goof as being a goof when this sort of thing plays out. Those so-called mistakes are usually exactly what the energy is requiring around the particular process that we're in. Excuse me, I got a frog in my throat. There we go. So the last 2 weeks I worked with worry, and the last week was actually supposed to have been with sadness and joy or overexcitement. And the idea with this week is that I'm going to include sadness and overexcitement, their healthy role being harmony, joy underlying them all. And then also within that, do the my goodness, the extra emotions. Excuse me, 1 minute. But a lot of talking and a lot of yelling at the dog to come back, to come here. We're puppy training right now, so lots of extra voicing happening right now. But he's doing pretty good for 8.5 months old. We have sit in common, and stay is a little bit dicey. We're definitely still working on a couple things. Okay, everybody. So again, for this week, we're gonna work with a variety of those themes and. Amongst it all, the steadfast foundation through it all is houses 5 and 6. So as we carry on into that direction, we invite you to focus in on any intentions that you might have. Feel free to pop them on into the chat feature. Let me know what's up. And thank you to everyone that's let me know their intentions beforehand. I appreciate that. Okay, it looks like I've got all the messages. Oh, beautiful. I invite you to take a moment to settle in, finding a comfy place to either sit or lay and be undisturbed for our time together. Beginning here by means of breathing. Every inhale, an opportunity to call in, to receive. To drink in life. Every exhale, an opportunity to release, to let go, to make space. And every breath, an opportunity to sink a little deeper into that cushion below you. If any part of that is pleasant, even neutral, taking time to savor it, to let yourself rest in it, to let yourself really get a little bit deeper, get a little bit juicier here. And then amongst all that, I'm gonna invite you to take a moment to purposely look for something pleasant to be with, whether that's out there or in here. Taking a moment to scan your environment. And as you let yourself go for a bit of a wander, go for a bit of a walk, drinking in all the things that are pleasant, easeful, neutral to be with, I invite you to ultimately land on one thing in particular. And when you got that landing point, invitation to notice a few different qualities that you like about that thing. And then take a moment to breathe that in. To let yourself savor that. Much like you would a piece of that, you know, that special treat, fine chocolate, whatever it is that you save for yourself. And as you drink that in, notice how the body responds. And if any part of that is pleasant and neutral, taking time to drink that on in too. Letting yourself savor that here too. Amongst that, I'm going to offer these words. Thank you for the opportunity to gather here today. And thank you to all that goes into these sweet moments of connection. Thank you to your families that created you, your ancestors that created them, and the lineage that holds it all, and the village that we rely on to run our worlds. Thank you so much to all of your supports, your resources, those around you. And thank you for spending your time in these ways, sharing an interest in working together in these ways as a shared group. I'm going to invite you to breathe that in. Let yourself really steepen that gratitude, drinking it all the way through to your very bones, through your very blood. And I invite them to receive your bones and your blood, the essence of Om. Shanti, 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 peace, peace, peace. Blessings on your journey today. As you call to mind what it is you're working on, what it is you're chewing on, what it is you're curious about, I invite you to really just let yourself hold that lightly and then notice however this information comes through meets that. I like to think of body talk as almost like somatic storytelling. So where is it you can feel this in the body? What is it you're noticing as you feel it in the body? What's the sensation? What's the color? What's the tonality of it? Become like a wine taster of what's here. And along the way, you may not always have all the answers. And however, later on, the mind might begin to make sense of it in a way that it just can't throughout the process. So invitation to stay with the body more than the mind right now. It's where the juice is. As we start off today's session, we're actually starting off with, interestingly enough, the 8th house. The 8th house is very much about death, rebirth, regeneration. It's the house of the kidney meridian, so it works with the ancestors. And it's very deep. There's an intensity in the 8th house. This is the house of Scorpio. And we're actually just leaving Scorpio soon here. We've got some interesting astrology underfoot right now. We're just about to transition into Sagittarius season. And amongst that, we've got retrogrades. We've got, I think there's like 5 or 6 different planets in retrograde, including Mercury right now. And there's a new moon popping on in. So we have no shortage of things that are happening. And the new moon, I believe, is also in Scorpio. So as we take time to land here in this essence of Scorpio, I'm going to invite you to just take a moment to check out your intensity, your passion. What's here that's calling you alive? And wherever you can find even a faint flicker of that, this is actually the source of regeneration. This is the source of coming to life again, to find the ember. That is our essence of expression, that is the expression of our fullest life force potential possible, that meets the very edges of our heart cavity, lined by the pericardium. And as we enter into Sagittarius season, it begins to expand that. So as we work with this, you can think of it as working with just at the very edges of what's holding your heart back. And as you connect to that essence of passion, finding the space, finding the room for this to be lit up from within a little bit deeper. We're linking this into the small intestine, into house 6, to literally have whatever it is that's regenerating through your passions actually be able to jive with the element of practicality to move forward amongst it all. And then there's a sense amongst us all around feeling like not living up to one's potential, almost like an itchy restlessness afoot here. And there's a sense of, why can't I seem to get past those roadblocks? Why do I keep repeating the same cycles? Where is this dance between things just repeating themselves in a way that's actually supporting my learning and repeating themselves and being stuck amongst it all? and that's linking for whatever reason into the right hip, your masculine foundation. We're going back into the masculine lineage. We're going back 8 generations down, downside. And we're working here with a sense of this feeling like a chronic shortcoming being an intergenerational pattern. And there's something here about this is how one stayed alive. This is how one survived. If you're always diligent, hyper-vigilant, in fact, about scanning for what was missing, scanning for where you were falling short, then you would have what it takes to survive the wildness of this life, to barely eke out the survival strategy and make it through. And it became this learned sense of not being able to expand beyond those perceived limitations of what kept you safe. And you know, another meaning for safe sometimes is like that thing that we put all our precious things in and we lock it in. And then we have really thick walls surrounding it all. So I'm wondering what it might mean for just a moment to acknowledge that there's safety enough here for all of your masculine ancestors. There's safety enough here. If you look back, you've survived 100% of the days up to now. You've got tools and wisdom and resources you didn't have back when you were small. You've got capacity here that you've never actually had before. So the invitation is to literally step beyond the essence of safety and explore just what's on the other side of that. Because when we're safe enough, we're not chronically looking for safety, and we can actually move beyond the walls, the borders that we thought were actually protecting us, but may have actually become a cage that may have locked us in to our old patterns, through our old persona, through our old ways of existing and being. We're linking this all into the liver. The liver is our source of organization. It's our source of how it is we meet the very edge of adaptation, how it is we can relate to feeling inspired and to spontaneously become active in ways we didn't even necessarily know because they were just at the edge of the unseen. They're just at the edge of that expansion into the unknown. And there's something that our intuition calls us to move beyond what we know is already our structure of organization and be able to intuitively, sensitively navigate into the intangible realms of that which we don't know. And here we're giving yourself permission to find safety enough amongst the unknown. And we're supporting it by running the permissions of, I don't know. I don't know. And in doing so, we call in the mystery, we call in the mysteriousness, the elusive, the thing that somehow makes things happen, that runs this whole show, that we have actually no idea. We've got lots of ideas in terms of how we think it's happening, but the mind can't actually verify any of them. So if we're really honest, we really don't actually know. Yeah. And there's some relief there. There's some space there. The more we think we know, the more we think we have the answer, the more it's collapsed, and the more we don't actually have the foggiest clue, the more we die in not the right way, the more we think that death is life. In a way that doesn't create surrender, that creates stagnation. And the thing about houses 5 and 6, they're not into stagnation. They're into growth. They're into the social realm. They're into let's expand beyond out of ourselves, out of this idea of who we think we are. But let's use that expression of our fullest life force potential possible to attract to us that which is ours, that which has always been ours, that which can't be not be ours unless we try to be safe enough and we hide behind the walls. So as we link this into houses 5 and 6, it's working with that desire for expansion. Just like the liver does, into the realm of the unseen, into the realm of the intangible, into the realm of the creative. And the way that we know that we're on target is that it honors your wiring, your sense of self. It's in service to the wholeness of you. As we look at those, I'm going to go back to those walls of the safe. We're actually going to run a CG on those. Now, we're actually doing it for a fair ways. We're doing it for the next 18 days. That's until about December 7th or so. And as we work with this for the next 18 days, looking at the various walls that you thought were keeping you safe but may have actually been creating your cage, which aren't allowing houses 5 and 6 to come to their fullest edges of expansion, we're working with a variety of overwhelm, anxiety, apathy, all the emotions that are interlaying and interwoven around the desire on a subconscious level carried throughout the masculine lineage to sabotage one's expansion, which is further defined by the emotion of sadness. Anytime we keep ourselves small in that way, we don't allow for the expansion that's naturally here for life to flow through us. We fall into some level of inertia, some level of boredom, some level of depression, some level of resistance, and that in turn just reinforces the wall. Just reinforces those walls, and all those emotions of overwhelm, apathy, anxiety get fed again. So this is the dance between these two, and maybe this is why we needed to do both of these sessions on the same day. I don't know. I don't have to know. I'm going to trust that it's coming up exactly as it needs to. So the Sidri, as it runs, it's running through the locations of the houses 5 and 6, through the heart, house 5, and through the small intestine, house 6, through both the organs physically as well as through the energetic meridians. And the physical organs are just a more dense component of the meridian. So really one and the same. Okay. So that's Sidri. Starts with C, circulation of all the healing resources, blood that carries our passion, nerve our communication, lymph that drains our toxins, gunk, waste, low self-esteem, overthinking, overanalyzing, along with sheer vitality, consciousness or awareness, right down into all the little guys, the electrons, protons, solitons, neutrons. Working with the sounds, the colors, the frequencies of all the chakras, major and minor, endorphins, hormones, and endocannabinoids that lower inflammation, anxiety, depression, that help us to heal on all levels, nervous system, immune system, beyond. Also working with the yin, the feminine essence of nourishment, and the yang, the masculine essence of protection, followed by hydration, helping the cells to take in water, joy, and release any impurities that no longer need to be here. D, defrag. Much like a computer defrag or a spring clean, taking the clutter of all that no longer needs to be here, what remains can be readily reorganized and utilized for healing. Then all the R's, reevaluation, recontextualization, reprioritization, getting out of rock and hard place type of thinking, opening up to possibilities where it may have seemed like there was none before. Integration, introspection, shift the underlying consciousness. Think of this as the release, the surrender, the letting go. It's linking into the part of you that feels like life at times feels just vastly unfair. Like, what a ripoff. I did all of this just to have this happen. That part of you that sees defeat, the part of you that sees resistance in a really big way, like it's blocking anything possible from ever moving forward again. And it's actually linking into when you were born. And it's actually the resistance before crowning happens, but the head is entering into that final push, that final stage. And in that time frame, hearing mom say something along the lines of, I can't bear this, I can't take that. For those of you who were born with C-section, same thing. It was right around the time of the incision, in the sense of, I don't know if I can handle this. And the sense of insecurity, the sense of this is too much for me, the learned response of something in life is bigger than me. And here we're running a cellular repair on that. It's actually found within the the heart brain, the various different electroconductivity system components. Forgive me for being a bit geeky, but they've got a lot of fancy names: the SA node, the AB node, the Purkinje fibers. And there's a sense of it throwing off your rhythm, throwing off the sense of, oh, did I come at the wrong time? The sense of, this is too much. I'm too much. The sense of life will then have to always be too much. It's going to show up in a variety of ways. Maybe you relate to one of those, maybe you relate to all of them. Maybe there's other things in between that are popping up into your awareness around this all. We're linking that all into the 12th house. House of endings, releasing, surrendering, letting go. House of making space. And interestingly enough, it's linking that into the back body. It's got the energy of what I can only imagine a bird or a bat or something that flies, an owl. Well, there it's a bird too. But right before that takeoff, there's a sense of like cocking back to prepare for like the pushing off. And then that sense of just like moving in towards the back body. The back body, this is from Bonnie Bainbridge Cohen, who's all about the perineal realm, is the area where we're free of history, the area where new action can happen. In that same way, there's a sense of being able to cock back, as I'm going to call it. There's this capacity that wasn't available when you were in your front body. As you move into the back body, it's almost like saying, I'm ready. I'm ready for something different to happen. I'm ready for something new. I've got the resources to weather this all. I don't have to have it all figured out. And it's okay if I mess this up. It's okay if I make a mistake. It's okay if I'm a messy human being. It's okay if I X, Y, Z. Yeah. And there's this sense of even if I don't have the clearest flight plan. Maybe I'm gonna imagine that like I'm like a baby bird or a baby bat. And, my view is obscured. I know bats see in the dark, but play along with me. But there's a sense of obstacles, there's a sense of leaves everywhere, there's a sense of branches everywhere. And it's like, how am I gonna make my way through all of those twists and turns? Yeah. And there's a sense of, well, what if I actually on purpose? Let myself hit anything that's in my way, and I actually on purpose use that to learn, use that to guide my next leg of the path. Learn how to inform my guidance of how to maneuver more cleanly. And we're linking all of that into your subtle senses. So the parts of you that know how to read between the lines, that get to hear things that are in the unspoken realm, that get to psychically perceive, that intuitively navigate, that have that smell, that taste, that knowing right beforehand. Whatever it is, there's this fear that often surrounds all of that because it wasn't accepted or understood well by those that raised you and those that raised them. And we've lost literally touch with our subtle senses. Yeah. And sometimes that can come with shame that you're doing something wrong. Pardon me, that you are something wrong. Sometimes that can come with a sense of, ah, I shouldn't be here like this. I shouldn't be here in this form. Sometimes that can come with a wide array of, I have to cut that down to size, I have to block that off. And amongst all of this, there's this theme of I have to deny who I am, which in turn makes us blind. It doesn't let us actually navigate how you're wired to navigate. Imagine a bat saying, okay, there's a lot of people out there that are kind of scared of me. And that probably means I should stop acting like I have sonar radar and I should stop doing bat-like things, and I'll just try to be like a human. Now, or an owl, if you're not into bats. I have a new love affair with bats because I'm over my fear of a very long fear of having a fear of bats. Maybe you're like a baby owl who's like, okay, not everybody really understands how it is I, like to kill and hunt and look for prey. Sometimes people are afraid of me if I, am around people with like small dogs. So maybe I just shouldn't do those things. Maybe I'll just like take these claws and beaks and set them aside for just right now. And I can't imagine anything in nature denying its natural wiring. This is a human condition thing. Which also means we have the capacity, if we can lose it, we can also have the capacity to reclaim it. So as we release the various emotions of shame, the various fear of judgment, the various fear of our own not understanding how it is this wiring is informing you, and the judgments of at times, feeling like you're crazy, psychotic, neurotic, nuts. There's a sense here of not being stable within self as a whole. And as we reclaim the embodiments of these senses, as we link them through to your heart, then into your blood, and then into your bones, and then into your cerebrospinal fluid, and then into the various different fluids, like the eye fluid, lacrimal fluid, I think is the fancy name, the saliva. There's a sense of return to the primordial and a sense of finding stability, safety enough in your home base of how it is you're wired in your expression. And we're linking this to the permissions I receive myself. I receive myself. As I see, as I say this, I'm seeing all the different senses on the subtle levels. Five, really six. Begin to just click back into place. And I'm seeing them as they come together, linking through to the heart in a harmonious way, being wired into blood and bone, like it's the most natural essence of you being restored and reclaimed. There's that baby bat, baby owl that's ready to take its first flight, that's ready to launch, that's ready to fly into that realm of the unknown. It's never done it before. And you actually don't need to do it before either. You never need to have done this before in this way. It's like you're here, Bambi, for the very first time. And as we do this, working with a sense of the midline of the body, that which our instinct, our intuition, our sense of trust and safety can be guided by. And we're linking it all the way down to the very perineum, and all the way, which is that space between vagina or testes and anus, and then all the way up to the very center of the crown of the head. And we're working here with a consciousness of your center line and feeling centered within self. There's this thing as you reclaim yourself, you become a walking permission slip for others around you to do the same. Take another few breaths, just let yourself steep in that. It's linking into the base of the jaw and the top of the chest, An area, both areas, where we often carry a sense of fear of self-expression, a fear of not being received or welcomed into the world. And from here, releasing releasing the expectation that you just won't be received. And with that, releasing the need to be received by others. Because when you receive yourself, it takes the pressure off of having to be received by others. You don't actually have to convince others of how it is you operate in the world. How does you sense yourself in the world? How does you best navigate in the world? And with this, giving yourself permission to not have to explain yourself to anybody else around you. And with the same time as that, there's this like clicking of, I belong, not because other people have accepted me or told me that, but because I have centered myself within so deeply. There's a deep sense of I get to belong here now. Then we're linking that through to the edges of the body. The gallbladder meridian works here, and it gives a sense of stability. And here we're looking at all those times where you felt stuck as actually being the thing that actually kept you stabilized, the thing that kept you steadfast, the thing that kept you contained, and the thing that gave you the boundary to make sure, kind of like a river needs riverbanks, so it doesn't just like go all over the place. It actually brings in just enough structure. And for those of you who could use just a little bit more, we're bringing in the energy of Saturn, which is very phenomenal at giving structure, even when we don't like it. Sometimes structure and creativity can feel like they're butting heads. But there's a sense it actually gives cohesiveness to that creativity. It gives cohesiveness to you, it gives the cohesiveness to the expression of you. And as we bring Saturn in, it also gives a sense of being able to, this sounds like boring stuff, but I think it's actually really sexy. Give you the structure, the realistic expectation of what it is you're meant to do. Because if we're always trying to meet something else that's actually not in alignment with ourselves, then we're sure to be disappointed. We're going to be filled with anxiety. We're going to feel like we're letting other people down. And we're going to think that there's something wrong with us. And that's really just bullcrap. That's really just bullcrap. Set up to fail because we thought we should be doing something other than what was within our very essence of our limitations. So Saturn gives us that kindness. It gives us direction. We don't have to worry so much about the destination when we have our direction. So think of this as all as connecting to the restoration of the consciousness of direction. And it's linking up to the skull for clarity. So this is actually bringing in clear direction, clear, cohesive direction. Could there be anything sexier? I think not. Alongside of that, when the edges, the container is there, it lets everything else that's been trying to hold up and do that job fully exhale, let go, release, fall down by the wayside. And it gives you the sense of emptying out so you can actually receive what's yours to drink in. I think of that as the true essence of prayer. And I think of that as the true essence of being in alignment with our desire. And I don't actually know that there's a difference between those two words, prayer and desire. It's without attachments. It's the emptying out to just be fully the essence of you shining forth so you can receive that which is yours to be received. And you wouldn't actually have any desires that were out of alignment with that. Because those would be through those false ideas, those false belief systems. I think a prayer is the calling in the receptive states, not the asking for something to be given. That's directionless. That's out there somewhere. It's actually calling in to your container. What it is has naturally always been yours. Okay, that's a big concept, and you don't have to agree with that. Please don't. Please find your own way through those territories. We're going to tap this part out here. Invitation to breathe and to receive, however it feels right for you. Giving that all a few rounds of breath, letting yourself relax there. Letting yourself rest here. And it's linking into now the base of where the skull joins the spine on the right hand side. There's a sense here of just like heaviness or denseness, density. It's actually linking into the times where you were dogmatically told what spirituality was or is by anybody other than your own understanding of it through your very own relationship to the inside of your body. Because spirit doesn't live up there, it's in and through the body. The ass sense is the D sense. It's about coming in to you. And as we work with the times where you were told something about it versus actually found it for yourself, it creates this density because there's something that's quote unquote known. And the mystery, as it were, of this realm is never known. It's actually beyond knowing. So we're linking in our permissions here. And the words are just simply, I don't have to know. And those old ideologies, those old cosmologies, those old ways of being informed and listening to somebody else tell you what it is dogmatically versus you finding it for yourself. They all work with the essence of, in some way, shape, or form, keeping you in somebody else's shoes, not your own. It's like trying to live through somebody else's life, through somebody else's eyes, ears, nose, mouth. You can't. Not really. We're really good at pretending it, though. Really good at faking it. Really good at saying, well, I think I know the answer. I think I've got this figured out now because I listened to so and so. I listened to Michael Mead. I listened to Gabrielle Roth. I listened to Louise Hay. I listened to John Beltheim. I listened to Alison Bachmeyer. I listened to whoever it was. Talk about it. Unless we found it for ourselves, we don't actually have our own expression of it available. So this is the invitation to go looking to find what the answer is. That doesn't really have words. That's not beyond, that is beyond the knowable. And yet there's somehow a recognition, an understanding, an awareness, a moment of clicking into place arrives when we look deep enough, long enough, and we don't do it through anybody else's lens or anybody else's path, because their path was theirs. We can listen to anybody else's path and their stories of how they found it for themselves. How you find it is going to be yours. It's going to be unique to you. It can't be other than. Excuse me. So we're just clearing up the spiritual clutter, so to speak. And it's not just for you, it's for the 7 generations before you. On mom's side, the thought that they needed to outsource their inner knowing to somebody else. And that process began the acceptance of strong languaging, the acceptance of dehumanization, the acceptance of you don't know how to navigate your own path here. And that creates a certain amount of damage, a certain amount of control, a certain amount of misuse of power, abuse, manipulation. When others say that they know. And they try to convince other people to listen to them. Yeah. And the other people do. And it creates this whole cycle. So we're here just to break that particular cycle. Through the 7 generations that found some sense of denial of their own system in favor of the nourishment of their own. And as we work with this, running a cellular repair, restoring cells back to their fullest potential of health, on how does you navigate your inner knowing, your guidance, your subtle senses. And linking that into the social engagement nervous system. And then through to houses five and six, which I'm going to suggest house five in particular carries that social engagement nervous system's origins, and house six is the deepening into it. At the same time as that running one more cellular repair, that's for this lifetime, through your small intestine, through the part of it that's actually designed to absorb nourishment, and at times it feeling a little bit thick with mucus, that you're supposed to have a little bit of it, but not so much that it doesn't allow for the absorption of food to get through. It's like that thickness of mucus layer, that mucus, it's actually mental ideas of other people's ideas, thoughts, and opinions that aren't your own. Running a body chemistry as well here. And just cleaning out the various different excess microbes that have grown on other people's ideas, thoughts, opinions that were never actually yours. They were just things that you learned instead of located for yourself with other people's guidance. And we're going to tap this out here. Invitation to breathe and to receive however feels right for you. Giving that a slow deep breath. Okay, then we're working with this theme that's been unfolding in various ways throughout this session of expression of self. And then we're linking that through to the 10th house, the house of how it is we engage our career, our achievement, our recognition, how we engage our outward self-expression, how we show up in service to our businesses, to the things that we do in our jobs, to the things that bring us financial stability, the things that bring us joy, an expression of getting to play with those. And I wonder what it's like for you to imagine that this is less about something that you need to overly do and more about alignment with finding the very center of your being, and letting that be the radiant point, letting that be the shining, the one illuminates through you, and letting that be the thing that magnetizes that which you're manifesting within your work. So less about, you know, trying to figure out what to do, and more allowing the system to be seen. And amongst that, releasing a fear of being perceived, being seen, a fear of being judged, a fear of what if I do it better than they do it? And what if that means then they'll be mad at me? What if I outshine them? What if you let them squint? And also the fear on the other side of like, what if I try to do this, but I like totally screw it up, I fuck it up. I get it all wrong, I'm a failure. Flash in the pan, never gets off the ground. What if you learn? And as we work with all of those elements, I'm going to sum them up as being overwhelm. I'm going to sum them up as being, as well, confusion in the system. along with it, a way that the resistances, our boredoms, and our inertias get fed through these various different layers of mental dwellings, beliefs, ideas, thoughts, really rich patterns that have been anchoring with us. It's going back into the age of two, where there is a sense of trying to coordinate your needs, your willpower, and your sense of self, your autonomy, your freedom, your agency, got relatively tangled as you tried to just do things how you wanted to do them, and you were met with this idea of socialization, of like, no, we actually don't get to do that right now. You have to put clothes on. No, you don't get to eat right now. We just finished eating. No, you can't eat toast out of the garbage. That's not okay. And all the other things where you were told, no, do it this way. No, do it this way. You know, be you, but not like this. Be you, but not like that. And the crushing weight of having to conform and having that be reinforced again and again and again and again and again. And have it being reinforced as something that's actually quote unquote normal, whatever that means. We're linking that to the permissions. And the words here are, I get to break up with normal. And we're releasing that ache, that heartbreak, that heartache, literally, you know, the feeling that you have when you're going through a loss of a loved one, a relationship, romantic perhaps, that sense of just like ache within the heart. And we're allowing it to be as it is. I'm actually seeing Fleetwood Mac come on in. Bear with me. You know the Rumours album? It's all about breakup songs. I'm pretty sure Fleetwood Mac are like spirit guides of some sort lately for me. So that might be why this is coming in. But there's this idea of, you know, breaking up with normal, breaking up with that which is not necessarily feeding you, but allowing it to be as it is and holding it within a state of love. And not having to be connected to it, getting to do it in a totally unique way that is all your own. So invitation to break up with normal, invitation to check out the album Rumours by Fleetwood Mac. Happened in my birth year, 1977. Yeah. Good era for music. Lots of good eras for music out there. Anywho, I did digress for now. And it's working with this idea of it's a little cliche, but getting to be in the world, but not of the world. It feels like a spiritual cliche, anyways. And then we're linking it into the solar plexus chakra and finding your own sense of empowerment amongst all the preconceived social ideas and allowing them to digest here, release here. And we're then linking that into the rectum and out through the anus. And allowing your system to actually digest, release. So I'll be curious to hear if you have some extra big poops today. I always love tracking poop, though. How can you tell I'm an anatomy geek, medical geek, and a dog mom all in one go? Maybe you like tracking poop for all sorts of different reasons. I don't know. I'm not sure how we got onto this conversation of poop. It's like we are channeling your inner 2-year-olds. And amongst it all, I'm gonna invite you to just take a moment to breathe. We're going to tap this all in here. Invitation to receive. And as we land this, I'm going to invite you to take a couple minutes to potentially touch on that resource again if desired. But a song here, it's about 2.5 minutes long, Loka by Ali Maya from the album Loka. An invitation to just simply let that all rest, let yourself be. Bonus points if you choose to let your body move and express however it's called to express in this moment.
Thank you.
Thank you, everybody. Thank you for being here exactly as you are. And thank you for being the medicine of you. We're all the richer for it. Om Shanti, Shanti, Shanti. Peace, peace, peace. Blessings on the rest of your day and your week ahead. Mwah. Bye for now.